Nearly 3 weeks after the Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl victory, the city's still aglow with pride. Now I'm going to splash some cold water over y'all. The Seattle Mariners opened spring training in Arizona this week. 37 years into the team's history, the Mariners remain members of an elite club. They're one of only two major league teams that have never played in a World Series. In fact, they haven't been to the playoffs in 12 years. So will the Seahawks Super Bowl win have a positive influence on the Mariners? Steve Sandmeyer hosts a sports radio program on 1090 AM here in Seattle. Sandmeyer says the Mariners have a lot to learn from the Seahawks.
The first thing they can learn is how to admit a mistake and how to correct a mistake they've made. The Mariners have been notorious through the years of holding on to players that have not performed for too long, holding on to general managers that have not done the organization well, holding on to field managers that put the lineup card out there for too long as well. And the Seahawks are a prime example of an owner, and that is a big part of it, that starts from the top in Paul Allen, putting football people in place to make some tough decisions sometimes.
Now, you mentioned both the field manager and front office for the Mariners. Many fans have been critical of the Mariners' management for being more interested in sort of making Safeco Field family-friendly than racking up wins. This year, there is a new Mariners president. There is a new field manager. How do you think that will change the team culture or business as usual?
I think the only way it is going to change the team's culture is if they win or maybe even eventually have new ownership. I think the Mariners would do so much better if they would surround themselves with baseball people as opposed to yes men. There are reports that the Mariners did not even look outside the organization in their search for a new president, and they hired from within. That's alarming to me based on the lack of success this organization has had, that they didn't even bother to look outside the organization for a candidate that could potentially be the new president. And Kevin Mather took over from within the organization after Chuck Armstrong retired. You hear the phrase good old boy network all the time, but if the name fits, wear it. And the Mariners certainly have that label.
I'm talking with radio host Steve Sandmeyer. Let's switch from the office to the fans, Steve. I think that Seattle sports fans are still in some sort of dizzy, euphoric shock about the Seahawks victory in the Super Bowl. How do you think that might influence expectations for performance by the Mariners?
The expectations for the Mariners are so low, I just can't possibly think that people are going to run down the streets figuratively with the torches lit demanding a World Series championship. It's almost as if the Mariners, in their lack of success and their stubborn front office, have almost beaten fans into submission. It's at a point now. I'm a lifer in Seattle, born and raised Seattleite. And I've watched this team since they came to this city back in 1977, and I am a diehard baseball fan, and it is even getting difficult for diehard baseball fans to put their arms around this team. The Mariners have been doing little things, trying to jump on the Seahawks bandwagon and bring kind of that fervor over to Safeco Field, but the reason why all of this was created in the first place surrounding the Seahawks was because they were bold. I mentioned they acknowledged their mistakes. They went out and made a lot of aggressive moves, and they understood the value of winning.
And just lastly, as I mentioned introducing you, we're still a little bit giddy. The champagne hasn't yet gone flat, celebrating what the Seahawks did, and it really transcended diehard sports fans like yourself. If, and it's a big if, the Mariners had a winning season, what do you think that does to sort of the psyche of this town, the zeitgeist?
You mentioned that it really transcends the diehard sports fan and community, and this can happen in the sport of baseball. I know people are tired of hearing about the Mariners recalling the years 1995 and 2001, but if your listeners remember that far back, it really was must-see TV every night or must-listen-to radio if a game happened to be on when those games were going on late in the baseball season. That can happen again. I'm not quite sure it can happen under the current ownership, but I think what the Seahawks showed all of us is, number one, whether you're a sports fan or not, there are very few things that can bring an entire community together with a common goal. I mean, I went to the parade with hundreds and thousands of people down there, and there were, if what the dictionary definition of generation is 20 years, there were three or four generations there. Young people, old people, people in between, people from every possible different background. And professional sports with the money involved and the hypocrisy and all the things that are negatives that are associated with it, something like this happens, and you really can see the cultural value of an event like this that brings a community together. As silly as it may seem, the important thing to remember is that sports is escapism, and if it's something to distract for, I don't know, a few moments, a few days, whatever it is, and it's this positive, that's a good thing, even though professional sports has a kind of a negative reputation a lot of times.
Steve Sandmeyer hosts a sports radio program on 1090 AM here in Seattle. The Mariners open spring training this week in Peoria, Arizona. God, there's always this season.
A great slugger we haven't got. A great pitcher we haven't got. A great ball club we haven't got. What do we got?
Getting the idea.
We've got heart.
This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.
And we do have heart. I'm Marcy Silman.